followers on social media or people that have potential, but I want you to understand that God does not, young person, bless laziness just because somebody's gifted. You're about to go into this this world, and I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find out there's a lot of people that are very talented sitting on the sidelines. You're going to find that out. When you go to the workplace, there might be someone in your workplace that has more knowledge, that might even be better at doing your job. But because you're there and you show up and you're faithful and you put in the work, guess what? You're going to be able to pass them up. It's just the way the world is. I want you to understand that a man can have talent without character. And this applies to us as well. Opportunity, they're going to have, but they don't have the work ethic. You ever had a boss or a manager that has the position but doesn't do the work? Well, that's why they have you for it. No, I'm joking, but that's how it seems like, right? And that's, it shouldn't be so. There's a lot of people with dreams, but they're just not committed to those dreams. And I'm going to say this, potential alone has never built a marriage. Potential alone has never raised a family. Potential alone has never built a church. Potential alone has never won souls to Christ. Potential alone has never changed their community. You say, Pastor, what has? Faithfulness. God honors faithfulness. God blesses a faithful man. Here's the truth. Your future will be determined by what you can do, not what you can do someday, but by what you consistently choose to do every day. That's life. It's a series of choices that we make. And it's not just by talent. It's not by, well, one day I will do this. No, what are you doing right now? And it's those little choices that will make that dream into a reality. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. God blesses diligence, not excuses. And if there's anything I hope that you can understand is this, that diligent just means hard work. It means being consistent. It means being disciplined, dependable, steady. God never promised success to a lazy man. If you read in the Bible, many men that God used, they were all hard workers. The disciples, many of them were businessmen. Many of them had livelihoods. If you notice in the Old Testament, before David became king, he was a what? A shepherd boy. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a diligent man? I mean, a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. Stop looking for the position. Start investing in what you can accomplish. A lot of people pray for opportunity, but here's the thing. We ignore the responsibility. We can't do that. And I'm going to tell you something, young people, what I've noticed with your generation, and it's, to me, it's an amazing thing. Many of you are very talented, and you're very motivated. I noticed that with this new generation, the younger generation. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than motivation. It's going to take discipline. One day, you're going to go to work. It's exciting the first time you go to work, right? But eventually what happens for the young people, because a lot of young people want a job. Why? So they can pay for what? A car, a phone. Praise the Lord, are my children, so they can pay for their insurance, their phone, their car payment, their fuel. Praise the Lord. So they can pay for, oh, they live in my house? AC, electric, food, amen. What else? They can pay for their clothes. That's real life. You say, Pastor, you make them do that? Well, real life, amen. I'm not going to leave it there. I'm just going to let your imagination go somewhere. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. It gets exciting at first to get a job because then you think, oh, I'm able to do everything. What you and I need to understand is you can't find happiness in your job. That's just temporary. It's fleeting. Ask your parents. But you know what you can find? Purpose in God. See, your parents and as much as us adults, we understand this truth. We're not going to work. We're excited to get a paycheck. No, we're going to work because we're excited that we're able to provide for you. That's purpose. We're able to protect you. We're able to take vacations with you. We're able to buy you the things you need in life, purpose. And God blesses diligence, not excuses. Can you imagine if your parent decided one day, well, you know what? I'm too tired. You know what? My back hurts. Can I tell you something, young people? That's going to happen. But what you need to understand is this. I have to continue. I have to move on. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy what? With all you can. Anything that you find to do at work or that your responsibility or your task may be, do it the best way you can. For there is no what? Work, nor device, nor what? Knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou what? We have one chance. We have one chance. When you go to school, do the best you can. When you go to work, do the best you can. When you go to church, do the best you can. Why? You only have one life. Because guess where we're going? To eternity? We're not going to be able to invest in that. This is your one life. Here's the thing. Make a count. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is what? Come on now. Least is faithful also in what? We need to practice that. To you, it might not be a big deal right now, but can I tell you something? If you learn to make your bed, if you learn, young people, hopefully, right, Ezra, to brush your teeth, right? If we learn to do all these things, guess what? In life, what it's teaching you is the character to follow instruction. When your mom says, hey, go take out the trash, and you don't delay, you obey right away at work. It's not that we need people just to listen to instruction, but guess who's going to be the one getting the promotions? The ones that listen, they're receptive to instruction, not the people that want to do it their way. That's not how it works. Amen? And many of us as parents or those of us that work, we understand in order to climb the corporate ladder, right? What do we must do, right? We must get the knowledge, yes, but we need to follow instruction. There's a way, a process to do things. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. David was faithful at watching sheep before he stood before a giant. Nobody saw him practicing with a sling. Nobody was there applying, yeah, go ahead, David, good job. You hit the target. That's how it's going to feel. That's what life is going to be about. Here's the thing. When you and I practice in private and we're faithful in private, guess what? We're going to have victory in public. That's what it happens. It doesn't happen overnight. That's not success. Too many people want the platform before putting in the work, preparation. One thing I appreciate doing baseball, and Tyler, I mean, we saw each other in the field there. But one of the things, it's neat. I don't think these little kids understand what they're doing on the diamond. It's a miracle if they can hit the ball. It's a miracle. I mean, you have 5, 6, 7-year-olds hitting the ball consistently. But do you think it happened overnight? Oh, they're talented. It's like everything else. It's like brushing your teeth. You have to do it over and over and over and over again. Now, I know that's sports, but in life, it's the same way. I find my confidence in my preparation. Not to talk about him, but I'm so proud of these boys. You know, I'm proud of these boys. They didn't just get here overnight. I mean, you can go to each and single one of them. Spencer, Benjamin, Zeke. But here's the thing. Some of them have gone through things in life where they could have quit. They could have decided, you know what, man, life, it's unfair. But they stayed with it. This is the result of staying with it. And guess what, young man? Take that faithfulness. You didn't quit when it was tough. You didn't quit when people were against you. You didn't quit when you had no hope. You continued to do it. You continue to work through it. That's the key to life, to success. Don't quit. One of the things that we tell Ezra, and this is baseball, but it applies to life, you're going to eventually lose. We went 10-0 this season, Ezra. Go Avengers, right? All right, praise the Lord. Undefeated season in our 6U. Guess where we lost? First playoff game, praise the Lord, in the semifinals. But I was teaching the boys, because I know it was going to happen. I on purpose wanted to sabotage Benjamin. I wanted to say, hey, we need to lose one game so they can feel the sting and then come out with vengeance in the playoffs. But I didn't do that. I did the right thing, and we won. Amen. And then we lost in the playoff. But here's the thing. I told the kids, I said, hey, what happens if you lose one game? I was trying to teach them that eventually what was going to happen. They were going to fail. I told them, but so what? Are your parents going to stop loving you because you lost the game? And they're like, no. You know, these are 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, you know? They're like, no. I'm like, okay. What happens if you miss a hit? If you miss a swing? Is it the end of the world? No. You know what I was trying to teach them? To control their attitude. It takes work. That's what God blesses. You can either mope. You can either cry. You can even have a bad attitude because you missed the catch, you missed the throw, you missed the swing. And I was telling these young boys something they don't understand right now in life. But guess what? When we lost that first game, you know what you saw on their faces? Smiles. These kids didn't know better. They're like, yeah, you know, we lost 10-5. That's the worst we've lost. Every game we've won, either 15 to, you know, and then whatever the other team had. Didn't matter what they had. But our first time hitting single digits and we lost. These kids were like, yeah, they're all happy. Now, I'm not saying be happy because you lost, but I was trying to explain to them failure is part of what? Success. You want to win? You want to win? You're going to fail. And I try to explain that to them. This is why you practice. This is why you do that before the game, and we practice real hard, and then win the game, because you're going to have a bad day. The Bible calls it an evil day. Guess what? We're going to have an evil day, but it's important that we understand that God blesses diligence, not excuses. When that day comes, guess what? You don't have to look at it as a loss. Failure is part of success. You can look at it as an opportunity to learn. Amen? And believe me, I learned this next season. I have a plan. Amen? But here's the thing. This boy went 15, Tyler, 15 off coach pitch at 5 years old. He hit the ball during the season, 15. He doesn't know better. He doesn't know better. But you know what he does know? He enjoys the game. He loves it. And every time we're out there, he wants, Dad, can we go throw the ball? So this is what I do. I throw 100 balls to him every time. 100 balls. What is that called? Preparation, repetition. Guess where he finds his confidence in? Because he doesn't know better. In his preparation. It's called work. It's called work. You want to be successful? That's what it's going to take. Hard work. He didn't know better. He got awards. He made the All-Star. He doesn't know. He just wants to play. Parents, sometimes we make the mistakes. We take this too serious. It's just a game. But if you can use this game to teach these boys some valuable moral lessons, hey, if you don't get your way, it's okay. You can control your attitude. And if you didn't like the outcome, you know what else you can control? Your effort. Did you do your best? Did you do your best? And young people, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You can do your best because that's what God blesses. Don't give God your leftovers. Don't give your parents leftovers. Do your best. And don't come up with excuses why you couldn't do something. Amen? Amen, Pastor. Amen. Second point. Quitters never reach harvest season. If I would have been the type of coach that I took baseball too serious for 6U, by the way, 6U, okay, 6 years old. Some parents, and some of you know what I'm talking about in the field, man, they take it serious that they go against the blue, right? They call it the umpires, and they'll tell the umpires here, there, and where they were born and everything, where they're going to in eternity. And I'm like, man, dude, it's just a game. But who do you think is learning from that? And that's damaging. You're taking baseball so serious that you're letting the kid know that sports is everything. And in life, guess how they're going to treat their marriage or their spouse? The way they're treating that umpire. They have no respect for authority. Amen. Guess how they're going to be at work? Entitled. Amen. Quitters never reach or never get to see the harvest season. If I took it too serious and I were to told Ezra, who's 5 years old, he believes anything his dad's going to say. If I were to tell him, hey, you should be mad you lost. I'm teaching him to be a sore what? You know, we can teach him to be a sore winner too. You can win by grace. You could see that other team tried their hardest and you can go over there and say, hey, good job. It's a game. That's all it is. No, it's not a game. It's life. No, it's a game. This is life. Being married to your best friend is life. Being married to your best friend, that's life. And your best friend not quitting on you, that's life. Amen? Ball can't comfort me. Amen? This is life. Money, it comes and goes. This is life. Seeing your children, seeing the love of your woman, being able to provide for your children the protection, that's life. That's fulfillment. That's purpose. That's just the ball. But if I were to quit and I would have taken ball so serious that I'm like, and these kids, when they lost, they'll just quit. I don't want to play no more. So, parents, let me explain something. When we take life too serious, we push them away from loving the game of life. Stop living through your kids. Stop living through your kids vicariously. Stop. Find out what's their aptitude, if they have the attitude to chase that. What is it that God has given them the talents for? And then find the will of God for their life. That's fulfillment. That is true fulfillment. Not for them to do what you want them to do or think they should do. Pastor, what does that have to do with quitters never reach harvest season? Let us not be weary in well what? Doing. Not in my doing. In what? Well doing. What is well doing? Doing the will of God. For in due season, we shall what? Reap. If we what? If my wife and I did not have God as the primary or priority in our marriage, guess what? She probably would have quit on me a long time ago. We come from two different backgrounds. The culture's not even a thing because, believe it or not, I'm white, Tyler. It said it in my birth certificate. It says it. I believe it. But here's the thing. I just like better food. That's all. But it's in my birth certificate. Amen? So it's not the cultural thing necessarily, but she was raised in a functional home. I wasn't. Man, there's so many things we disagree on, and there's so many things that we differentiate in. You know, like I like food that has flavor. She likes bland food. It's okay. It's okay. I'm getting her to come on the right side. Amen. I love you, babe. She's going to get me back. I'm not going to have food. She's like, no, where's the food? I thought I liked bland food. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you, babe. But no, we have different understanding of things. If I would have gotten mad at the fact that she didn't agree with me, guess what? That's saying, you don't want to work for this marriage. That's saying, Zeke, all you want to do is be right. What if what she has to say is actually important or right? You know, there are men, maybe not in this room, but there are men in this world, maybe in our church, I don't know, that a woman can't tell them what to do. Amen. It's okay, man. We were raised by moms. Amen. Because they're so stuck on this concept. They already quit on growing their marriage. And men, I'm not saying you have to obey your wife. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But if you read the Bible, we're supposed to submit one to another. Amen. Here's the truth. Yeah, amen. Please don't have a heart attack, anyone. Amen. Here's the thing. The way I was raised, the man runs the home. Nobody tells the man what to do. Amen. Not that it was in my home. We were in a dysfunctional family, so I didn't have anybody to see that from. But in the neighborhood we were in, men ran the neighborhood. Amen? And even though they hung out with the boys in the crib, figure how that worked out. But I'm glad that we put God first, because God was a common denominator. When we went to the Bible, made us realize she was doing things how she was raised. I was doing things the way, dysfunctionally, how I figured things out. But the common denominator was God. I'm glad we didn't give up on God. I'm glad we didn't quit on God, because we got to see the harvest. It's called, what's your name? No. Where's Haley? It's called Haley. It's called Ezekiel. It's called Harmony. It's called, Hannah. It's called, where's Elenita? And Ezra. That's the harvest. And yes, when we get to sit here, Miss Chantel, you're going to love that grandbaby, amen, because that's part of the harvest. But we get to sit here and we get to enjoy these moments, these milestones. Folks, we don't quit. And young people, can I tell you something? You might not look at your goal right now, but don't quit. You keep going. And if you know there was somebody in your life that did things wrong, it's okay. You still do what's right. Because God blesses hard work, but also quitters will never get to see the fruit of their labor. Next verse. Do we have another verse? Oh, okay. He left? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Do we have another verse? I think we do. 2 Timothy? Maybe press the arrow to the right. He'll let you know. 2 Timothy, there you go, thank you. It says, thou therefore endure what? It's going to get hard, young men. Ladies, it's going to get hard. We want to quit. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. Good, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, thou therefore endure. I just want you to understand that this life, it's not a race, a sprint. It really is of endurance. It's like a marathon. It's one of those things that it's going to push you. You're going to experience new feelings. And you're going to want to quit because it gets hard. You're going to cry. It's okay to cry. You haven't failed. You're going to feel lonely. And honestly, if you want the top spot, some people are not going to understand you. But stay with God. If you're in His will, that top spot might feel lonely, because He's using you and molding you with and equipping you with the things you need in order to mold you into that leader. And don't take it personal. If anything, just thank God and say, God, thank you for even allowing me to be in this position. If you're a father or a mother one day, God, thank you. Because I know I don't deserve to be a father. I know that. But I will tell you this. It's had to be an endurance. Because I'm learning as I'm going too. And part of that going is my healing process of that inner child that never had his dad. And I'm using the scripture here to help me with that. It's my medicine. But imagine if I would have given up. I wouldn't get to experience the love of my sons. I know they say, parents, you shouldn't make your children friends. I get that. I do get it to an extreme, but I think we should be friends to a certain extent. One of my best friends, I mean, besides my wife, it's my son. We shoot guns. What else do? Together? Amen. No, we cheer for Texas Longhorns. Amen. No, we do a lot of things. We go out to do a lot of hobbies together. And it's not that I'm cool or anything. It's just I'm better at him at sports. But I'm joking. It's just one of those things that I never had. And now, guess what? I get to experience it as a father with my son. You follow me? I understand not everybody can do that. I was in that side. But I also understand when you get the chance, it's going to be tough sometimes, because you're not going to know how to do some things, and some things are going to be painful. But if you don't quit, eventually what will happen is you'll build a relationship. And that relationship is what's going to be important, because guess what, parents? This is the mistake we do. When they're young, hey, don't bother me. I'm busy. When you come from work and they're young, hey, can you throw the ball with me? Hey, I don't have time for that. And I get it. I mean, I get tired too, man. I get it. But eventually what happens if you continuously push your kids away, If you don't endure, guess what's going to happen when they're older? They're not going to come around. Why? They're so accustomed at a young age for us to just push them away. Push them away. So guess what? When they're older, what they're going to do? They're going to stay away. Yeah, they're going to push away. Okay. Here's the next verse. Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. This is not necessarily lustful temptation. It could be the trap, but this is testing. For when he is tried, tested, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Understand that, young men, keep praying, man. Don't stop praying. You might say, well, I just don't see God answering my prayer. Keep investing. It'll happen. You'll see the answered prayer. Keep praying. Also, keep serving. You know what serving is about? Something bigger than you, yourself. I know some of you have a good heart. I remember Benjamin, bless your heart. Amen. That's a good way. He invited me to, what is that place where you were chef? You forgot. Amen. Where is that called? TJC's. Okay. What he said. It's a beautiful building. I appreciate it. Amen. And he invited me over to eat some pupusas. Amen. And they made it. And I appreciated it. Amen. Now. And I appreciated it. Amen. But you know why I did it? Because he invited me. You know what I want our young men to know? That their pastor's not too good. That if they invite me somewhere, I'm not going to go. Man, he invited me. Guess what? It was the right thing for me to do. Not because I'm a pastor. He's my friend. He said, Pastor, I was told to invite some friends. And I'm sorry I couldn't make it to your graduation. But I think it was the same time. I had a pick. Sorry, man. Zeke. Stinking Zeke. But here's the thing. I would have gone. I would have gone to your graduation. Zeke would have failed or flunked. But he invited me to eat the pupusas. Did they taste the same as the Salvadorian pupusas? Of course not. Amen. They're East Texas. Amen. And they were made by high schoolers. But you know what I notice about him? His heart. You know what many of us don't know? And I'm not going to take out his laundry or anything. But this young man has gone through a lot in life. In his personal life. That many of you don't understand. And if you want to ask him, probably ask his parents first. Amen. But to where he was and where he's at, a big difference. Am I right, Mama and Grandma? Amen. Big difference. Now you say, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because here's the thing. If this young man would have decided, hey, I'm just going to quit on life. I'm just going to quit on doing anything or trying. First of all, we probably would have never met. We probably never would have had a relationship. And I probably never would have tasted those pupusas. Amen? Here's the third point. I'm sorry. Amen. We'll leave it here. Third point. Small daily decisions, young men, determine your destiny. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. I want us to know that the biggest moments in life, they're usually shaped by little decisions that nobody talks about. A successful life is rarely built on a dramatic moment. It doesn't just happen from one day to another. You know where it's built? A prayer at home. How many of you are taking the time to pray at home? And young men, can I tell you, before you go to college or higher education or whatever career path you decide to take, pray at home. That's where it starts. On a small daily decision. Because I really, truly love y'all, and I really want you to reach your destination that God has for you. The thing about it is make one right decision at a time. You know, obey once at a time and be disciplined once at a time. Luke 16:10 is saying, he that is faithful, Luke, is saying, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Amen. The next passage. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Stay firm. Stay grounded. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Young men, Is it part of the Lord's work to obey your parents? Yes or no? Yes. Ephesians 6:1, amen? Right? Children, obey your parents in the... For this is... That's part of God's work. Parents, fathers, right? Is it part of the Lord's work not to provoke our children to wrath? It's part of the work. Right? If anything, instill the desire to these young men or the future graduates or the future generation to love life. Love serving God. Understand, we serve God, the true God, right? They should fall in love with that God. How? By our example. And young people, same way. Understand that the small decisions will determine your destiny. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know. My parents don't deserve it. Listen, that's not why we obey God. Not because someone deserves it. It's because it's the right thing to do. And when there are people around you that are doing wrong, it's okay. You still must do what? What is right. Amen? I'm closing with this. Stop waiting for motivation. Stop waiting for perfect conditions. Stop waiting for easy circumstances. Stop waiting for someone else to push you. Build discipline and build it now. Have the character. Prepare now. Because the direction of your life will not be determined by one emotion or emotional moment. That's not how life works. It'll be determined by the small daily choices you make when nobody's watching. So what is the whole point of this sermon? It's what my father-in-law, if you ever go to Bascom Cemetery, you'll see his what does he call that? The Stonehenge or the headstone? It's a bench, so if you want to relax there, you can. I don't know, you probably have to ask my wife's permission. But it says these two powerful words, stay faithful. Stay faithful. A man that understood who his God was, instilled a godly heritage in his children. Stay faithful. What is that going to take? Be disciplined. What is that going to take? Be committed to one another. What is that going to take? Let God build your future. And I hope this helps. I hope it does and encourages you. Let's pray. Bow our head, close our eyes.